Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to another episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, before we get into all of the Game Week 8 action, we have to say a massive congratulations to Fantasy Football Scout, to you and the team over at Fantasy Football Scout. We have to say a massive congratulations to Mark and Az from FPL Black Box. And we have to say a massive congratulations to Zolf and to LR, Late Riser, and to Big Man Bakar from the FPL Wire. All winners
at this year's... And the FPL Experiment podcast, who came third.
And the FPL Experiment boys, friends of the show, FPL Experiment, who came third in the podcast category. All winners, or in Experiment's case, come third in the FCAs, the Football Content Awards. Tell us about your experience down in the Big Smoke, down in London during the week. Good, right?
Good event? Yeah, it was a really good event. It was one of those where I think, you know, it's been a long time since you've been to a big event in London. And obviously last year's was virtual because they couldn't do it as they wanted to at the stadium, and it was at the Royal Lancaster Hotel. This time around, it was really lovely. It was a really great event. Lovely to see people again, catch up with people.
You were saying to me, good banter from Arsenal Fan TV and the equivalent Spurs community podcasters, yeah, from the other side of the room.
Lots,
right?
Of good banter across the room.
Decent.
I seem to have done a lot of shouting on Thursday, because ever since my voice is just not quite right. Feel like I'm straining it every time I speak at the moment. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic evening. Neil and Tom, and now Mark, who's joined the editorial team, those guys are brilliant, and they've worked so hard with the editorial over the last year in particular. Over at Scout. They so deserved to win Best in Editorial. And it was a real shame because Neil had to leave to get home before they'd announced the award, because it took so long to announce all the awards. He didn't get to come up on stage with us. But yeah, no, fantastic evening. Well done, everyone who won.
Love it.
They got nominated, because actually Brilliant. To be nominated was great too.
Yeah, really good. So congratulations to all the winners. I noticed the boys from the Wire podcast actually put a picture of the trophy that they'd won being held on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that was me.
And I was like, either Late Riser's had a nice manicure there, or that's my wife's hand. I was like, that's an interesting one. So congratulations to everybody at the FCA. It's really, really good night. And welcome to this next live stream, guys. We're going to talk about Game Week 8 in all its glory, from the start, Liverpool thrashing Watford, so I was very happy, to a very, as you can see from the title, shaky start for Newcastle this afternoon against Spurs. And we went from the Everton and West Ham game, which from an FPL perspective, we will cover it, but wow, what a dull game, right? Into all sorts of stuff going on in the Spurs game. A whole load of action, including actually somebody really unwell in the crowd, which can't be overlooked, right? I think one of the Newcastle fans, I think, had a heart attack or a cardiac arrest during the game.
Horrendous.
And I have to say, absolutely fair play to a number of people. One is Reguilón, who spotted it in the crowd and was just to the ref, look, you've got to stop this. There's something going on over there.
Yeah.
Secondly, Eric Dyer, who ran over to the medics on the benches and were just like, look, get the defibrillator and get it over there as quickly as possible. And then thirdly, to the medics who actually went rushing over there to help this guy. Now, the news I've heard, or I've just seen on Twitter, and I think Sky Sports reported it, is this guy, or girl, don't know actually.
Man.
It's a guy. Okay, so this guy is in hospital and he's stable.
Yeah.
Which is, quite frankly, amazing. And it's testament to how well everybody reacted to that situation.
Totally.
So, listen, I hope this guy recovers fully, because that was a hell of an ordeal, right?
And whilst it was a horrendous ordeal to sit and watch, and it would have been even worse to be in the stadium, equally, you know, as they said when they went back to the studio at half time, or in the break when it should have been half time, but it wasn't. Actually, in some ways, he was very lucky, because it happened in a stadium where there's defibrillators, and it happened at the point where the match was, and the players saw it quickly, and everything went in the right way to save his life.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Unbelievable, really, that these things happen as they do. But yeah, credit to Eric Dyer and particularly Reguilón, because goodness me, those guys. And they interviewed Reguilón after the game, and you could really feel it from him, how kind of quite emotional he was, really.
Yeah, yeah. And what an atmosphere. Just to go back to the game, what an atmosphere at St James's Park today. Unbelievable. I mean, I certainly felt it in the build-up. You could feel a lot of the Sky Sports coverage, even before the Everton game, was focused on St James's Park. Obviously, a lot has happened in the last week or so. Newcastle fans, get in the comments below. I'd love to know how you feel about this new takeover and what's going to happen. Right? I don't think we can read too much into today. Right, this is not something where the club is going to change overnight. But big changes at St James's Park. Unless you've been living under a rock, guys, you'll know, obviously, Ashley is out. We have a consortium that is kind of powered by the Saudi Arabian government has come in. And is a PIF, a private investment fund, is a public investment fund. I think it's the latter. A public investment fund on the behalf of the Saudi Arabian government has come in and has taken over and bought Newcastle for the sum of 300 odd million quid. And from what I could tell, a lot of positivity and happiness about that. I think less so because of who's come into Newcastle, but more so because Mike Ashley's gone. I think that was more where the joy from Newcastle was coming this week.
The interesting thing for me now is going to be, I mean, I spoke to a lot of Newcastle fans. It's amazing how many Newcastle fans I know, although I come across in my life.
Yeah.
I just spoke to a lot of them this week, and they were all expecting Steve Bruce to be fired before this match went ahead today.
And I was.
But it's interesting because I kept saying, I can't see it. If they were going to sack him, surely they'd have done it as they took over. They had a couple of weeks then to get somebody new in. And
it'd have been well harsh because do you know how many games?
Yeah, 999.
So if they'd have sacked him before his 1,000th game, that would have been so hard.
I just felt like it had taken too long. Like they were in the last few days and you know, they apparently had the day off on Thursday. And the producer at the FPL show is a Newcastle fan. And he was saying, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets sacked today. And I was like, I just can't see it. It's too close to Sunday now. Who would you get in?
Yeah.
All of that rhetoric's there. But what's going to be really interesting now that he's lost this game is, will he now stick around?
Who do you think they're going to get? He's going to go, isn't he? Who do you think they're going to
get? Well, he's going to go eventually.
Is it Mourinho? Is it Conte?
Well, it might be Mourinho, because Mourinho's at Roma. They're not going to buy him out. He's only just gone there.
I don't know.
Conte, I don't know. Somebody else I was talking to this week said it would be very... Conte, you could see him not going now, but maybe going in a couple of years' time, because it's when get the money in, get some players in, and then go. I don't know. I mean, Steven Gerrard was rumoured, wasn't
he? Yes, I saw that linked. I saw him linked. Yeah, Frank Lampard as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gerrard would be better than Lampard currently, just because he's won stuff and you've got that kind of behind you now.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. Let's see.
It's a hell of a project for somebody.
Give it to Shearer till January.
Give it Shearer till January. Give it Shearer.
Why not?
Because actually giving idols and giving historically, you know, big, important players at the club managerial positions is going very well, isn't it, Manchester United fans? Goodness me, Sam. We are going to cover...
Oh, I linked that in well, didn't I, without meaning to?
I don't know if that was a good segue or not. I think I just about styled that one out. What is going on at Manchester United? Ollie out, again trending. We're going to talk about the Leicester game.
But
of course it was. It's always trending, Sam. And I've got some stats, I've got some info from watching that game and then watching the highlights on Match of the Day, particularly about the effort that Man United are putting in, particularly that their attacking front six. Some of their heat maps leave a little bit to be desired, Sam. When they lose the ball, they are not working hard enough, Manchester United. And they're coming up next week against a very hard-working and informed Liverpool team. And as a Liverpool fan, Man United fans, you can come at me in the chat if you like. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that game. Because Liverpool, on the back of that Watford victory, which we'll talk about in a second, have now scored something like 3 or more goals in their last 7 away games in all competitions. Liverpool on the road are absolutely flying. So a trip to Old Trafford, Sam, has got us all rethinking, I think, our captaincy for game week 9 in FPL. Because for me, absolutely locked into Lukaku up until this game week. Lukaku at home to Norwich, done. Forget about it. Don't even consider anybody else. But all of a sudden, back-to-back clean sheets for Norwich. Salah looking on a different level.
Back-to-back clean sheets Norwich?
I'm just saying, back-to-back clean sheets for Norwich.
Not a thing.
Sam, that is a thing. That's a fact. That's not arguable.
Yeah,
they've got back-to-back
not...
clean sheets. They've changed the formation, gone 3-5-2, and they've got back-to-back clean sheets.
That's... No, they're still doesn't make them good defensively. They're coming up against a good Chelsea side, regardless of Lukaku. We can talk about him more later, but they won't keep a clean sheet against Chelsea. They've got, I'd give them 0.5% chance.
Well, not exactly creating a lot of chances, Chelsea against Brentford this weekend, but we'll talk about them in just a second. Let's go to the chat and let's see who is in this evening. So Mahmoud Khan is in. How are we doing, Mahmoud? Nice to see you. James Ward is here. Very nice to see you, James Ward. And I've also, Sam, if you've noticed, I've got a poll going. I've got a YouTube poll going.
Wait. I thought we couldn't do polls anymore.
We can do one poll, according to YouTube.
I feel like I've gone back in time.
Nowadays, we can do one poll. And
What's the poll
for this week is, it is to do with the thumbnail that you created, right? Mbwemo, if that's how you're saying his name, because I get the feeling I'm going to butcher another guy's name here over the course of the week. Mbwemo, Mbumo, Mbomo, whatever. I'm going to say Tony M. No, it's not. His name's not Tony. That's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
I'm going to say just Mbomo, I think. So Mbomo, 53% currently in terms of the option, the Brentford option that you go for in game week 9, guys. Tony in at 18%. Both has got 20% and neither has got 9%. So at the moment, Mbomo, whatever, however you'd say his name, is leading the charge right now. And I tend to agree with you. So guys, if you've not voted yet, in the poll, the first FPL family poll we've had in absolutely ages here on YouTube, because I've now figured out how to do it, 192 votes. So plenty of you not yet voted that. So get over, have a vote in that. What are you planning to do for game week 9 with Brentford? Is it Tony? Is it Mbumo? Is it both? Is it neither? What are you planning to do? Carl Vineyard is here. How are we doing, Carl? Very nice to see you. We've got Aaron Chen, long-time patron supporter of ours. Aaron, very nice to see you, mate. Hassan Helmi is in. He says, I got 67 points. Nice. Good game week. Very good game week. TJK Gamer. Hello, Lee and Sam. Sam with a new ponytail look. Is this a new look for you with the ponytail? I wouldn't necessarily say it's a new look.
To be fair, I normally don't have a ponytail when I live stream because at certain angles, it can look like I've got no hair.
Okay.
So normally...
You can confirm you have got hair.
So I have got hair, yeah. Yes. Yeah, normally I have it down for live streams, but thanks. Ponytail love.
Thanks for that.
Maybe I'll wear it in a ponytail more often.
Thanks for the ponytail love. A few comments on the new shirt as well.
Oh, yes.
The new shirt is out in force.
And it's lucky.
It's lucky for today, although you were playing a pretty shambolic Newcastle. So, but that was your birthday present, wasn't it?
It was one of them, yeah.
Happy belated birthday for Friday.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Get in the chat, guys.
Little Max has got one as well, matching.
Happy birthday. Belated happy birthday for Sam in the chats, please, guys. Martin Salin, how are we doing? Good evening. Liam Healy is here. How are we doing, Liam? Nice to see you. Scott Schrager, the OG, is here. Chris Olley, very nice to see you. Ben Swain, PDM All-Stars. Matthew Wilkinson, Duncan Crawford, and Fergus Bolson. A whole host of you guys in this evening. So welcome to this live stream. This is the Game Week 8, Game Week 9 live stream. And we're going to go and head in just a second, straight over to the fixture, Sam. But I do want to chat about the guy over to my right-hand side. Look at this guy, Roberto Firmino.
Does he think Christmas has come early?
What do you mean?
Well, you own Bobby Firmino for Christmas, remember?
Bobby Firmino for Christmas. That's been the thing, isn't it, for you the last couple of seasons?
Always, yeah. But is it now like, you know, because it was a bit rainy and a bit cold on Saturday, do you think he thought, oh, it's Christmas time already?
Well,
there he was.
Well, I think we should start by talking about him. Let's go to the fixtures and let's go to the very first fixture of the weekend, one I've been looking forward to talking about, one I attended at Vicarage Road. Watford 0, Liverpool 5, Ranieri's reign off to a real, I was going to say shaky start, but
I can't keep using shaky start. Couldn't he? Because he can get sacked soon, so he could go up to Newcastle.
It's almost certain that he gets fired from Watford pretty soon, isn't it?
Eight months.
You know. You give him 8 months, do you?
On average, that's what they get.
Right.
So, okay. You know, he could make it to the end of the season.
What are you making of this game then? So I'll give my view in a minute, but I'd like in particular your thoughts on, I mean, we'll talk about the Salah. I'm happy to talk about the Salah goal for the whole hour if you want. I mean, that goal.
Dancing feet.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better than the Man City goal. He's literally retired half of Watford Football Club there. He's got three around him. He stops it. And there's something about the best players in the world. And right now, I think he is the best player in the world. I might be biased. It was said by a few different pundits over the course of the weekend. I'm obviously biased, guys, but I do think he's the best in the world at the minute. The way he put his foot on that ball and then moved it, it just somehow, the best players create that time, don't they? They just create that time on the ball. And he just, it was such a good goal. It was such a good goal.
Did anybody else hear Lee say, you give your opinion and I'll give mine in a minute before going on
to
Salah rant?
So Salah, I mean, let's not even talk about him. If you've not, I'm just noticed as I was coming on here, Fantasy Football Fix is saying to me, Salah's going up in price tonight. And I was shocked. Who's not got Salah yet?
Who has not got Salah? We had this conversation on the FPL show this week.
Just have him.
Because alongside going to the Content Awards on Thursday, I also did the FPL show and the FPL pod. So, of course, we did a lot of talking about Salah on Thursday.
Of course.
I said on the show, I am genuinely surprised that Salah is only owned by, I think it's like 63% of the game.
That's pretty high, though. Yeah, if you think back to the last few years of highly owned, that's still pretty high.
Yeah, but then James said to me, oh, well, maybe it's because all the dead teams, you know, people that aren't playing anymore. And I was like, yeah, but nobody was really going into the season without him.
No.
So you would think that the dead teams would have him. So if anything, you would think it would be going up. But I don't know whether it's just people that have kind of had Lukaku and, well, there are plenty of people that had Lukaku and Ronaldo, aren't they? And maybe just left out Salah, and then maybe have got other, they've probably this week, to be honest, it was like, I've got so many problems and Salah is not one of them, because it was like, you know, Jota for me, Rafinha.
He's just on a totally different level. It shows you what a rested and a full pre-season can do for Mo Salah, because he's totally hit the ground running and he's absolutely on fire. If he's not in your team, I don't want to talk about him anymore, because if he's not in your team, you're not doing it right, right? Just get him. But elsewhere in that Liverpool side, obviously a benching for Jota, no minutes for Jota this weekend. But how did you feel watching that game? Because I must admit, you know, Firmino banging in a hat-trick, I'm sitting there as a Jota owner thinking, this is what I could have had. I could have had a hat-trick from Jota this week. Or did you not feel that way?
No, I didn't feel that way.
Right.
Because, well, you know how I love Bobby Firmino. I think he doesn't ever really get the plaudits that he deserves, because often it's not him that gets the hat-trick. It's often Salah or it's Mane that gets the kind of plaudits, because they're the ones that finish it. But what he does for that team and the way that he... the way that Liverpool play when Bobby Firmino's on the pitch, for me, it makes you a whole different beast. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to Jota at all. Not at all, because I think he's a fantastic player. But he doesn't offer you the same that Bobby does. They are different players playing in that same position. So when I was watching Bobby doing Bobby things on Saturday, I was like, yeah.
Do you know what? I would spin a slightly different rhetoric than that, because a lot of what we've said about Bobby Firmino in the last few years is that his movement and the way that he occupies defenders is great for Mane and Salah. And there's no doubt that that was also the case at the weekend. But what I will add is that I think Firmino, some of the movement that he done against Watford was for Firmino. Mm. It's unusual, I would say. Would I say that? I guess I would say it's unusual for him to get tap-ins in the way that he was getting tap-ins. Normally, he's dropping back and he's creating. And we did see a lot of that at the weekend against Watford. And I know a lot of this, I know you guys are going to say in the chat, Lee, it's Watford. I know. And Watford were bad. I'll come to them in a minute. But the way that he moved, it was movement for him. I mean, it was Trent and Robbo getting down those sides and he was getting into the six-yard box and poaching, which is not necessarily what you always see from Bobby Firmino.
No, but maybe that's because I still think Mane's having one of the worst seasons I've ever seen him have. Even in this performance, I still thought he was one of the weaker players in that team.
See, again, I would spin that differently. I would say last two or three games, he's stepping up a little bit. He didn't have a very good start to the season, Mane, and I said that on a lot of live streams. Although the last couple of games, I think he's starting to find his feet a little bit. I don't know what's happened. I don't know whether he's just found a bit of a groove, found a bit of form, whether we're playing some nice opposition. I don't know. But yeah, I guess against Watford, I thought he played really, really well.
I mean, the reality of the situation was I wasn't expecting Jota to play against Watford. I thought he'd come on, thought he'd get half hour, which is why I kept him over Greenwood, because that was a stupid decision in the end. Because I'll end up selling Jota this week anyway, so I just kept the wrong one for the extra week. But I think what's going to happen is we rarely see the four of them together for Liverpool. Mm. Rarely do we see Salah, Mane, Firmino and Jota. So if we're not going to see all four of them, what does that mean for the Firmino, for that kind of position on the pitch? Well, it means that you're going to see some rotation. It means you're going to see maybe 60 minutes for one and half an hour for the other every week. And that's a rotation that I'm not sure I want to be part of at the moment, because the fixtures are a little bit more difficult right coming up now. Obviously Manchester United next, so the Liverpool fixtures,
that's a difficult fixture for Liverpool.
Well, no, but what I'm
going to tell you the fixtures coming up for Liverpool, since you mentioned them. Here we go, from game week 9, here are the Liverpool fixtures. It is Old Trafford, as you mentioned before, home to Brighton, away at West Ham, Arsenal and Southampton. So three of the four that precede the trip to Old Trafford are at home for Liverpool. However, as I mentioned earlier in the stream, Liverpool travelling very, very well at the minute. But so certainly Manchester United and West Ham should not hold any fear if you want to hold on to your Liverpool assets.
No, but you look at those fixtures and you think, you know, Brighton have been so good defensively so far this season. Southampton have really upped their game defensively. They've been so much better. Manchester United, well, those games are always interesting, aren't they? They're never quite what you think they're going to be. I do think Liverpool will win that game, but they're just never quite what you think they're going to be, those big derby games. So I'm not 100% sold that you need to be trebled up on Liverpool right now. I think you need Salah, absolutely. I think you need Trent, yes. Okay. Do I think you need to have Jota when he is a rotation risk with Bobby? No, I don't think you do. And I think with, we've got him in the graphics, or we've got his teammate in the graphics, I think with Mbeumo doing so well and looking so lively, and with the fixtures the way that they are for them, and the budget you can save, which could mean Antonio becomes Harry Kane.
I can see where your transfers are going already. Spoiler alert. So that a lot of the guys in the chat are asking, what are your plans for Jota then? You're thinking a downgrade to, not a downgrade, but a sell. You're thinking of selling and bringing in Brian Mbeumo.
100%, that's what I'm doing this week.
Right. Okay, interesting. I think I
will. Spoiler alert.
Well, as a few of you in the chat are saying, you know, you've got to wait to see what happens in the Champions League. I think that's, you know, we've got European football this week. So if you haven't caught on yet this season, I think it's, and this goes for, and we'll talk about the Son COVID thing in a minute, right? But what we are seeing this season is it is far more important to have the information, I yes. think. You've got to hold those transfers, yeah. I think. That the knee has to not jerk on a Sunday night.
But what I will say is, just because I'm going to sell him this week doesn't mean I don't think he'll get FPL returns over the next few games. I think there is potential for points returns there. And it's the same when you're making a decision, and we have to talk about Lukaku again later, but it was the same making the decision between Ronaldo and Lukaku. Whichever one you mean doesn't necessarily mean that you think the other one's going to blank every game.
Okay.
It just means that you have to make some decisions and what that means for the rest of your team and potential minutes could be worth doing. And I think it is with the Jota move.
All right. Sanjay Patel is saying, Lee, my gran would have scored versus Watford and I'm 63. God knows how old my gran is. Nice comment, Sanjay. Thank you for that.
I could have scored against Watford.
I mean, listen, yeah, they weren't good, were they? They weren't good, Watford. And it's going to take some time for the Ranieri philosophy to kick in. But for me, having a lot of the things you see when you're there, they were really dropped from about 60 to 65 minutes. They ran out of puff, Watford. They really ran out of puff. They knew they were in a game. And Klopp got the third or the fourth goal and he was like, right, get Trent off, get Robbo off, because they've run those flanks absolutely ragged. I mean, Massino in the first half, no wonder he got the hook on 45 minutes. He looked like a rabbit in the headlights or whatever one of these phrases is that you normally roll out. And Danny Rose had a difficult game down that flank against Salah and Trent, etc. So they knew they're in a game. They got run off the park, Watford, in my opinion. And that's one of the things Ranieri's got to work on. He's got to work on fitness pretty quickly.
I thought Watford were dreadful.
Are they a bit of a target now? So whoever's playing them, should we be targeting them? Or do you back Ranieri to get their act together pretty quickly?
No, I don't back Ranieri to get their act together pretty quickly. I actually thought that Ben Foster had quite a good game. And that tells you a lot. Because he actually made four that I can think of decent saves in that game.
Yeah.
He was all
right. A
couple
from Salah, actually. Salah could have had a haul. Yeah.
And then you look at the scoreline, and when you're saying that I thought Ben Foster was one of their best players on the pitch, that tells you a lot about how bad they were across the rest of that team. Defensively, they were woeful. Ismail Assar.
What would you do if you had Assar? Would you give me a sell?
Yes, because he is a quality player. In my mind, there's no doubt that he is an excellent, excellent footballer who is way... He's just at the wrong club. But you can't... How many FPL points is he going to get? He's got nothing going on around him. And that's really problematic. When you've got a team that's... When Gary's got to work on the defence, first and foremost, he's got to try and sort that defence out. They've got to get back to being defensively solid. That means that he's not going to spend his time coaching Ismaïla Sarr. He's going to spend his time working on what on earth he's saying to these defenders who have let in 5 goals this week.
Yeah, okay. A super chat from GoPal. Thank you, GoPal, for the super chat. 68 points this week. Nice. With Saka and White left to go as well.
Very
so
nice.
Two still to go with 68 points. Very good.
Yeah, I'm done now.
GoPal captained Harry Kane.
Ugh.
Captain Kane, very good, which was... In a week when everyone was captaining Salah, that was very brave. Vardy is differential, is working well. Overall points, 459. Back-to-back under 300k game weeks. What's not to like? And he footnotes that with Ndombele was good today. Ndombele was good. He was. We'll talk about Spurs in just a second. So GoPal season going very well indeed. Let's move on from Watford-Liverpool. And let's talk about Liverpool's opponents next week, Manchester United. So Leicester 4... Manchester United 2, and I didn't realise this until I saw it on Twitter after the game, but that's the first time United have lost an away game in a very, very long time. They've been travelling very well for some time, but the performance just wasn't there for United, was it? And I'll give props to Leicester as well. They played pretty well. Tielemans in particular, I thought was fantastic. Really, really good. And the Iheanacho and Vardy show seems to be rolling into town and doing the sort of things that, you know, we saw at the back end of last season. So Rodgers seems to be getting a tune out of these two. But let's talk about Manchester United to start with. Even the return of Rashford was not enough to galvanise them to a win here. It was really bad for them.
No, I saw both my United players ahead of this game. Obviously, Luke Shaw became Trent. That was a good move. And Greenwood became Foden, which was, it was the wrong move in theory. What the right move would have been to do Jota this week and Greenwood next. But I still... didn't think Greenwood was that great in this game. I think, you know,
a goal, though.
It was a great goal.
What a goal.
Was a great goal. But the underlying stats always, you know, you look at the underlying stats and you think, yeah, he's playing really well. Like, all these shots. Then you watch the eye test and you think, just never really got going. And I said that on the FPL show, like, he's having all these shots, but actually if he just sideways passed to Ronaldo or looked for one of his teammates, actually they were in a better place. Just a bit.
The stats back you up, by the way. Greenwood top for shots this week, tied with Salah and Broya from Southampton, who I'm going to talk about later on. I'm impressed with him as well. So Salah and Greenwood and Broya right up there, five shots this game week. So your view is that Greenwood...
There's just a selfishness.
The quality of the shots is not very high.
There's a selfishness about him at the moment. He seems to be taking... It's almost like he's got a point to prove since Ronaldo's arrived.
I don't mind that, though. Do you mind that? If you're a Man United fan, you want to see that, don't
do
you?
Do you, though? When there's other...
When you see the first goal, you want to see it.
But how often is he going to score one of them? And how often when you've got Ronaldo next to you and he could just lay a pass to someone in a better position, do you want him laying the pass to someone in a better position? And I think that there's got to be a balance between those two things. Yes, you want him taking shots when he's in the best position, but you also want him looking for his teammates because certainly for me as an FPL manager, I'll take the assist over a missed goal. Like that, sure. And that's what's been really frustrating about owning Greenwood over the last few weeks is that every time I've watched him, he's been top for shots, he's been top for this, top for that. The underlying stats suggest he's good. Then you watch him and you think, oh my gosh, how many points have you not scored me today that you could have done? And it's frustrating. So going into this game, actually, Leicester's record at home to Manchester United was really excellent. And I thought that they might do something today in the game yesterday, hence disregarding both of my United assets. And moving forward, I can't see who you invest in because Ronaldo, well, we'll have to talk about Lukaku as well in a bit, but Ronaldo certainly doesn't look worth the money right now.
Yeah, what would you do if you had Ronaldo now? It's a sell, isn't it? I mean, on his day, of course he can do the business, of course. But
I mean, the reality is you could sell him and buy somebody significantly cheaper. I'm not even saying go to Lukaku anymore. Like, you could go significantly cheaper and free up the money to have an extra bump in the midfield and get Son or go
possibly.
To Kane. Or...
Yeah, possibly. Well, Matthew Wilkinson in the chat, here's a comment I like. The whole United frontline is selfish and don't track back. So... I think what Matthew is saying is, yes, I agree with you on Greenwood, Sam, but actually...
It's all of them.
It's not just him. There's a few of them that are... And maybe Greenwood is being selfish with his shots, but the whole front six, in my opinion, in that game against Leicester, they were getting caught upfield. And to be the four of them up front in particular, they're just not tracking back. And the gaps, therefore, between the front line and midfield... There's massive gaps. And if you play against Leicester City,
yeah.
that have got midfielders like Tielemans, yeah. who, by the way, was superb in that game.
He
superb.
Was.
And you've got players like Vardy, who will play on the shoulder and yeah. find those gaps because he's intelligent enough to do so and still has the pace to do so.
Yeah.
And you've got Iheanacho there as well, who's dropping into those gaps. I mean, when you play Leicester, one of the things you have to do is you have to be careful in between the lines because they're good in those areas. And United weren't just... They just weren't... It wasn't that they weren't good. They were particularly bad.
The thing
and
is...
And it played into Leicester's hands.
What's really weird about all of this is that Manchester United were playing well last season, beginning of this season, and Ronaldo's arrived. And honestly, I know that the homecoming of a legend is... You know, we learnt from me last year, it's something to be celebrated and enjoyed. But I do think he's upset the balance in that team. There's too many of them now, all going forward at the same time. They're not working as a unit anymore. It's something has gone wrong in that team. Now, I think Rashford coming back will be a real bonus, and I do think that will boost them. He came on, he did play well, I thought anyway. He looked better, he looked lively, he made a difference. But he's going to take a while to get back up to full fitness. So... For me, there's nobody in Manchester United right now that I think is worthy of investment. And I think they need a rethink on what they're doing in terms of their attack and their defence. Because at the moment, they look like two completely different teams.
Yeah, so Andrew Yee, thank you for the comment, Andrew. So much space in that United midfield, not working hard enough. Yes, I agree. Azzy, the Smiths 1986 is saying Pogba made some very interesting comments at the end. United
he was
are
angry,
a
wasn't
moments
he?
Team. Yeah, he was... You could see it come across in the way that he was talking in that post-match.
He was not happy.
A bit solemn, a bit like, what's going on? A bit like, I'm not happy about this. A bit like, I wouldn't say it's toys out of the pram, but it was close. It was close. Having said all of that, here's an opportunity for Manchester United to rubbish all the naysayers and beat Liverpool at Old Trafford next season.
Really?
And save Ollie's job. It's a game they'll turn up for.
That's right.
It's a game they'll turn up for.
For a start, it's not to save Ollie's job. Ollie's not getting the sack. For a second thing, they can try and turn up against Liverpool. But did you see Liverpool against Manchester City? Like, Liverpool going to be like, not in our backyard, thanks very much. Like, you know, they're going to be like, we're going to go there. We're going to smash you up. Because Liverpool are so confident right now. And Salah in particular is just like, I'm the king of the world right now and I'll do what I want.
Yeah, but you know what they'll do. They'll put Scott McTominay and Fred back in midfield.
But what
try and play on the counter. And that's just, that's what they'll do. They'll frustrate.
Well, they can try. But the Liverpool defence has been really solid. And if they're going to try and play on the counter, they're not going to get that many great opportunities on the counter. And we're seeing from the underlying stats, they are wasting the opportunities that they get given at the moment. So there was a conversation about shall we bench Trent I was listening to earlier. Absolutely not. You do not bench Trent ahead of the Manchester United game next week, because even if Manchester United score, for a start, that Trent could do absolute wonders down his side next week in attacking returns. But I can't see Manchester United scoring in that game.
Okay, all right. The chat is saying I've missed a super chat. I'm pretty sure I have. Here it is. Mamu Khan. Thank you, Mamu. Sorry I've missed that. Oh, goodness me. Depressed United fan here. Liverpool is a game where the manager has got the sack after a hammering, but even still, they'll save Ollie, unfortunately. So there's the view.
I don't think they'll sack
from
him.
A Manchester United fan is that they will stick with Ollie. And I have to say, I agree. I think they probably will.
Who else
will.
Would they get right now as well?
Listen, it's Manchester United. You're not going to be short of suitors for that job. There's no doubt about it. But they have
Steve
got some...
Bruce is available, maybe.
Steve Bruce may be available. So might Ranieri, because you know what Watford are like. Let's talk less about Manchester United, because I don't think from an FPL perspective there's too much to talk about. Although I gave a shout out to Greenwood for the amount of shots he's taken, but Bruno Fernandes continues to be the most creative player in the league. 8 chances created, which is way above the 6 that Redmond, who was second for this game week,
got an
created.
Assist, didn't
so
he?
He did get an assist, yeah. So Bruno still continues to rock the creativity.
Too expensive though for one assist.
Yeah, and the problem is he's got a lot of players around him that, I don't know.
You can create what you like, but if they're selfish.
Yeah, it's like...
If they're wasteful.
Even the assist he got was for Greenwood's goal. Now, I'm not saying it is an assist, of course it is, but it's a worldy goal from Greenwood, no doubt about it. So if you're a Bruno owner still, I think you're a bit lucky potentially to get the assist points. You probably should have had a 2-pointer again this week, which for 12 million or whatever he is in FPL nowadays, it's just, I don't think he's worth it. Leicester on the other hand, though, looking pretty good. And actually, from a few weeks back when we were saying, well, they're defensively looking a bit crap and they don't seem to have got their act together. Still no Ndidi in this side, right? Johnny Evans back was big, so that's important for them. I was impressed with this team. They've got a lot of options going forward
now. The biggest thing for me is that he started playing two up top again. Jamie Vardy...
Iheanacho's making a difference.
100%. Jamie Vardy... And I said this... I don't know if I think it was on the pod I said this. Jamie Vardy is... Sorry, Jamie Vardy. But he's not young anymore. He's getting older.
He's the league's top scorer, isn't he?
But why? Why is he suddenly improved? Well, it's because he's got somebody up top with him and they're working together.
He's been scoring goals all season.
But he's working together as a team. He's suddenly far, far better. He's in getting the ball in all the right places. Leicester will score a lot more goals when they've got the two of them up top. And it didn't matter actually whether it was Iheanacho or Daka when Daka came on as well, because of course he came on and got a goal too and looked good. So when they play two up top, I think in part... it just gives Jamie Vardy that connection because somebody can drop and someone can go and they work together as a team and they kind of share the load up top. Whereas there have been times in the past where you've been watching Jamie Vardy, particularly in the early part of the season when the likes of Harvey Barnes was doing absolutely nothing, where it was sort of all on Jamie Vardy and it was like all on Jamie Vardy to get a penalty and then, you know, a couple of pens here, a couple of pens there. Now what we're seeing is a genuine partnership that he's formed up top again with Iheanacho. So much better for it.
Mm. Yeah. He's well, as the chat is saying, a nice comment here, by the way. Mick Lustmetz, thank you for the comment. Respect Vardy. Put some respect on his name. Give him an espresso, a Red Bull and some eggs and he will score. There's something about him that I just... You know my thoughts on Vardy chat, right? You know how I feel about him. I don't like him as a guy. I don't really like him much as a player. But bloody hell, he can score goals, can't he? And he's still going. And we keep talking about his age. We keep talking about his XG. We keep talking about, oh, he can't... He's overperforming his stats and he must regress. He just doesn't. So why are we all sitting here with either Ronaldo or Lukaku and not add Jamie Vardy for the last two or three weeks? Why have we done that?
Reassuringly expensive.
Listen, Vardy's Lukaku, not cheap.
No, but Lukaku and so basically what happened, you know, maybe it would have been different if Lukaku and Ronaldo were in the game from the very, very beginning of the season, because maybe we would have then kind of gone and thought about what we were doing. But when these two literal legends of the game arrived, suddenly it's like, I must have them. And I must have them at any cost. Some people ditching...
shiny new toys,
Some people ditching Bruno. Some people ditching Salah because, oh, I must have this new exciting, you know, effectively Ken doll to play with.
Yeah. It's the fear of missing out, isn't it? As the chat is saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so suddenly the likes of Jamie Vardy, Salah, Son, Kane... They're disposable because that's what we want. We all want that new thing.
Yeah.
Now, basically what's happened in the last at least couple of weeks, but really four weeks or so, is that we've seen both Ronaldo and Lukaku regress to the mean. And we're starting to see the old faithfuls go, hello.
Yeah, you forgot about me, Harry.
Did you forget about me?
You forgot about me, Jamie Vardy.
Ha, 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 because I'm cost you a load of rank.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do?
I feel like the FPL community, as a whole community,
we've been trolled.
Completely blindsided.
We've been trolled.
By Ronaldo and Lukaku coming in.
They've trolled us.
And a bit, I guess some of us a bit less so by Ronaldo, although he was bought by a lot, right? And the game that I was really worried about for Ronaldo was that first game. That Newcastle game.
When he did.
Because when he came in, I just thought that atmosphere is going to be amazing. He's going to be straight into that side and he's just going to boss it because that's what he's all about. And in my mind, I thought, I don't want to buy him because I don't think he's going to fit the United system. I don't think it's going to be quite right for United. And that has proved true. But even when I was thinking that in game week four, whenever it was, I did think that Newcastle game, I'm worried. I'm going to get behind the sofa. And even now, because he was highly captained that game week, I still feel like my overall rank is still suffering from that 26-pointer that a lot of people got that I didn't get.
Yeah.
But with Lukaku, I kind of feel like I've got this wrong a little bit with Lukaku. I don't know. I was expecting him to be better. We'll talk about him in a second. The last thing to say on this game was, and I've said it already, Mr. Tielemans... come to Liverpool on the back of that performance. That was unbelievable.
What is it with you?
Oh, it was,
every time you see Rafinha play, you think, oh, you tell him to come to Liverpool. Now you've seen Tielemans have one good game, you want him to come to Liverpool.
Listen, I just appreciate a good player, right? No, I appreciate a good player. It's doesn't have to be a Liverpool
it's
player.
Because you've
right?
got transfer envy, because Liverpool did zero business in the summer, and now you've
need
a shiny new toy to play with.
Do you think that our performance and our league standing so far means that we've not done the right thing by not making any signings? Do you think that any signings would have improved us this season?
Yeah.
Oh, we could play better than we're playing right now, could we?
Oh, well, of course you can.
Okay, Sam, good one. Right, let's move to the next game. Let's
get a shiny new toy. Of course you can play better. Everyone can play
what
better.
What I love about it was, go off at a tangent here, but like because we didn't do a Grealish or a Lukaku or like a big...
I don't think any of them would have made you better.
It's just like all the pundits were just like, right, Liverpool will be like third or fourth because they haven't spent 100 million. But I was sitting there, I was thinking, we will be all right. Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself because we've just beat Watford, so I'm not getting too excited.
Listen,
as you guys in the chat are saying, yeah, Tielemans and Rafinha at Liverpool, Nicholas Smith says, yes, please, those two, please, absolutely. Man City 2, Burnley 0. Well, we were all talking about the Tuchel tombola. We're talking about how it's now difficult to pick a Chelsea player. Well, Man City, Pep just stood up and reminded us all as an FPL community, just when you think it's safe to go Ruben Dias, it's not. I will drop him.
What?
Or rest him, I should say.
This was peak FPL, this.
Yeah,
because we went on the FPL show.
Grealish benched, Dias benched. It's like, oh,
we went on the FPL show, Holly and I, and we did a team talk on Manchester City. And whilst we were doing it, I said the fateful words. And I did say at the time, I might get done for saying this.
Yeah.
But I feel like, at least defensively, we're starting to get some more solidity with what Pep is choosing to do.
Oh, famous last words, though, Sam.
And then he benches Walker and Dias. I mean, I think he watches. He's like, right, let's watch. See what the FPL pundits think we should do. Ah, ha, 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 ha. She's just said I'm solid defensively.
I'm going to come back to it in just a second. I've missed another super chat. Sorry, guys. My super chat goggles are not on tonight. But Chintan Suchak, thank you for the super chat. Hey, I have Livramento, Dias, Cancelo and Tierney. Time to let Semedo go for a non-starter. Also, congrats, we shall win next week. So
you don't need a non-starter.
Thank you for the super chat, mate. You've got a very decent-looking defence. It probably is time to let Semedo go, but you do not need to buy a non-starter, mate. There's plenty of good options still down in that area, although you have got Livramento already. Do you want to double up with Ben White? We'll talk about Arsenal. I know we won't because they haven't played yet, but we'll talk about Semedo at least in a bit because he is somebody still in my team. I'm starting to get the ump a little bit with Wolves. But Man City 2, Burnley 0, as you rightly say, just when you thought it was safe to go into the Pep roulette, he's trolled us all. But again, City get the job done, 2-0, De Bruyne with the goal, Foden with the assist.
Thank you.
Bernardo, who had a really, really good game again, Bernardo Silva, he seems to be in the same, I don't know, I guess you can put him in the same bracket as Vardy from this perspective. Oh, no, I didn't mean to scroll that down, hold on. Scroll that down, there we go. In the same breath, you could say, you know, Bernardo Silva also getting on in years a little bit, I guess you could say. But listen, he's pulling out the performances. What a class act, Bernardo Silva.
At that point, and
so good. And again, the architect of this win for Man City. You bought Foden in this week.
Yes.
Happy with that?
I mean, yeah, I would have been happy if I'd done it for Jota rather than Greenwood because then I've had goal points as well. But yeah, I am. I mean, I was fairly confident. But then again, you know, this is typical Pep, isn't it? I was really confident all week that Foden was going to play. Then the Torres news broke on Thursday and I was really confident that he was going to play.
Yeah.
And then the deadline passed and I thought, oh God, he's going to get benched.
He's going to get benched, yeah.
And I literally spent the Liverpool...
You've got that headache every week now.
And I spent the Liverpool every game week. Thinking, oh, he's going to be benched and I'm going to just have oh gosh. And then he wasn't benched and he got an assist and I'm like, oh.
Oh, there goes your phone. Is that your new phone?
No, it's the old one, thank God.
Thank God it's the old phone. Hold on, there we go.
Oh, God, slid off the sofa. I know, terrible.
Hold on a minute, it's all right. It hasn't cracked.
No, it's all right. God,
imagine that was your new shiny iPhone 13.
Oh, no.
Gone and smacked on the floor.
I'm still dealing with, like, everything's updating. I've got to keep the phones together, I've got to keep the watch together. Everything's a nightmare. A bit like the Pep roulette.
Do you remember the days when you used to buy a new iPhone and you'd have to plug it into iTunes on your laptop? You'd have to... Here we go, we're showing our age now, aren't we? When you get you got your shiny new iPhone 2 or iPhone 3 or whatever it was, you plug it in, you'd have to sync it with iTunes, because it's called Apple Music now, you have to have iTunes. You'd have to download all the stuff from your previous phone. You have to sort of save all your contacts, stick it on your new phone, sync it all, plug the cable in.
I just had to take a picture of my old phone with my new phone and then bang, it did it.
I don't know if you guys have seen this, but if you bought a new iPhone recently, you'll know this, right? Your new iPhone says, all right, you know, show me this, you know, the screen of the old one or something, didn't it? And it was just like, did it all automatically.
Open the camera and point it at your old phone. And then it updated and I was like, hold the line, what's happened here?
Anyway, but
that's got off topic. So yes, yeah. I will have potential headaches with Foden, but I do think that he has got potential to get points, even if he's benched, because he can come on and he can get points because he is...
Bit of a jammy assist for Foden.
Shut up.
I'm just saying, it's a bit jammy.
Talking about jammy, I think...
Go on.
Every one of the jammy pick potentials paid off this week.
Oh, okay, there we go. Go back and watch the jammy pick video to check that out. But Foden, you're happy with him. You've got the headache every week, but you're happy he's in your team. City with the fixtures coming up.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's... Right? I don't. He's got Brighton next and then Crystal Palace. I don't think he's a headache. I think he's fine.
Let's have a look at the City fixtures coming up. It is Brighton. It is Palace. Then it's the Manchester Derby, which is going to be...
Back Foden.
It's going to be a good one. Everton at home, West Ham at home. So, yeah, the City fixture's looking pretty good. So, if you're going to go there, I think a lot of the rhetoric leading up to the weekend was, well, the safest and the guy that's getting the most minutes is Grealish. He's the one to go for.
Benched.
So, again, it's a case of, as we've always said with City, you take a ticket and you partake in the roulette and you see what happens.
I didn't mind it this time, though.
One player that doesn't seem to be rotating so far this season, if you've got a few quid to knock about at the bank, is João Cancelo.
And again, benched in game week 9, Lee's predicting.
Well, quite possibly, but he was in the top 10 for XG underachievers this week with a delta of 0.46. So what does that mean in actual plain English? That means he was a bit unlucky to only get the 6 points. He potentially could have had a bit more. And actually, he passed the eye test completely. And I had a look at some of the stats in terms of touches in the opponent's half. He had the most of anybody so far this game week. I think 140-something touches. Creswell was second. And then Ake was third, followed by Mahrez and Foden. So the Man City dominance of that game... I mean, Creswell's the only name in there that's from any other team, right? The Man City dominance of this game probably should have led to more goals as a reality, but João Cancelo, of all of those Man City players in that dominant team in that game, had the most touches in the opponent's half. So he's getting in all the right areas, Cancelo. I think if you can afford him, I think he's a good pick to have. Have you got any thoughts to get in on the Man City defence? Because you're currently not in on Man City defence, right?
Yeah.
What's your feeling about getting into that then? Do you want a piece of that or no?
Yeah, and I would have done it this week, but I would have taken a minus eight to do it this week because I'd have had to do the Jota transfer at the same time, and then And the reality is, I probably would have gone Diaz because if I was going to do Jota to Mbeumo, I think I was 0.1 shy of Cancelo, which would have meant I'd have gone Diaz. So it would have been a minus eight for a player who didn't play.
Yeah, that would have
so
been harsh.
In the end, actually, it was okay. But yeah, I mean, yes, I would like to get involved in the Man City defence. I think Diaz has had his rest now, so I'm more likely to go with him moving forward because even though Cancelo's been good, we've just seen him bench Diaz and Walker.
Mm.
Could we see Cancelo get benched for the next one, give him a rest as well?
Well, possibly.
Like, this is the sort of... Yeah, you know, it's Pep.
If Cancelo plays 90 in the Champions League, I'm worried. Put it that way. But then you're the same. If Foden plays 90 in the Champions League, you're worried. This is what comes with the territory of owning Manchester City players.
But if you own an attacking Man City player and they come on for the 17 minutes that Diaz did, that's less bothering.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Diaz owner and he comes on for 17 minutes, blimmin' annoying. If Foden comes on for 17 minutes, he could easily get attacking returns in that time, couldn't he? Okay. So I'm less worried about that.
All right. Question from Yogesh. Thank you, Yogesh, for the question. Are we sleeping on KDB just like we're sleeping on Vardy?
No, we aren't sleeping on him. But
is he another one of these coming back to the, you know, hello, remember me? Is he another one of these?
I don't think you can be said to be sleeping on KDB. He's literally just come back from injury. Jamie Vardy, we potentially have been. He's been around all season doing bits and we've ignored him for the most part. But with KDB, he's just coming back from injury. He's 11.9 million. So how are you going to afford him? Well, you're going to have to sell another premium probably to free up the budget to do that, which means you were going to be looking at selling probably... Well, you're never going to sell Salah, so that means you'll probably be looking at Ronaldo and Lukaku. I mean, the reality is you weren't going to sell Lukaku ahead of this run of fixtures to buy in KDB. I don't know. I don't think you're sleeping on KDB, but I do think if you're wildcarding and you can find a way in without hits, maybe it's okay. But
okay.
I don't know. I still think you can't sell Lukaku, even how bad he's been. I still don't think you can sell him. The fixtures are getting so much better.
Okay. All right. Well, KDB back to doing what KDB does best, which is goals, 3 bonus points. Fifth for midfielders amongst the BPS across the game week with 32. So right up there in doing what KDB does best. Only a couple of games that we've got left time left to cover, Sam, but let's talk about Brentford versus Chelsea then. You touched on Lukaku there. The fact that he's only got, what, one goal in his... Is it one goal in his last five? Something
it's
like
madness,
that.
Isn't
is
it?
This now a problem, or is it just madness to even consider selling this guy
Norwich
before
next,
Norwich?
Isn't it?
I mean, you have to, don't you? You have to keep him for that. I mean, it's ridiculous to even say otherwise.
You can't sell Lukaku before Norwich. You just... I mean, you can't,
forget it.
Can you?
Yeah, forget it.
I just... I can't... As much as I'm fed up with him, I can't...
What is going on there? What is behind this kind of difficult patch then for Lukaku? Because he came in, same as Ronaldo, first game, smashed Arsenal to pieces, didn't he? And actually, you know, if you think back to that game, that was an Arsenal team that was a bit blighted by COVID. It was a bit of a makeshift back line, wasn't it? So we all looked at that game and we went, oh, Lukaku's back. And actually, maybe Arsenal were just not quite right at that time. And maybe Lukaku is... Maybe the Lukaku over the last 3 or 4 weeks is actually the Lukaku we're going to see. Although what I will say is I do think that team misses Mason Mount. I do think he gives them something and he gives Lukaku something. And Tuchel has said as such, right? He said that they've got an understanding that Lukaku perhaps hasn't got with a lot of other players in that side. So Mason Mount coming back and playing more regularly in that Chelsea side should benefit Lukaku, right?
I mean, it's a similar conversation, I think, to Vardy and Iheanacho. When you've got... And Son and Kane and... To a lesser extent, it was Salah and everybody, but Salah and maybe Bobby or Salah and Jota, Salah less with Mane. Like, so there are certain players who they form a bond with another player on the pitch and they always instinctively know where the other one is. And I'm not convinced that Lukaku, he might have it with Mason Mount, but we're not able to see it often enough because they're not playing together often enough at the moment because of Mount's injuries.
Do you think that Lukaku and Werner is working?
No.
Well...
No, Lee, I mean, they both keep getting caught offside every 2 seconds. It is the most infuriating thing to watch. You watch Chelsea and it's like, what is wrong with you both? Have you got no eyes in your head? I can see that you're offside and I'm however many miles away we are from the Brentford Stadium.
Okay, all right. So, not selling Chelsea assets ahead of Norwich, that's ridiculous. And actually, of course, as we know, because we've all bought Chelsea assets in, the fixtures still continue to look good after that with this kind of, you know, in transition, let's say, Newcastle club. And then Burnley, who are looking pretty bad as well, before it gets a little bit more tricky with Leicester and Manchester United. So the next three are definitely holds for Chelsea. But if we don't see, you know, a stack full of goals from Lukaku, I can potentially see some sales in game week 12.
Yep.
Yeah, particularly as the fixtures turn for a certain Mr. Kane going at home to Leeds and then away to Burnley. So I could potentially see that move on the horizon. But certainly for the next three, no panic with Lukaku. I think let's stick with him.
If he blanks against Norwich...
Oh, can you imagine?
If he blanks against Norwich, would you sell him?
That would be a big problem, wouldn't it? I haven't thought that far ahead yet.
I think I'll lose the plot with him.
If he blanks against
Norwich, I think I'll throw him out of the dishwater.
Not with the two that are after that. I mean,
it's
the fixtures
Norwich.
Are good.
Have you seen how bad
back-to-back clean sheets, Sam?
No, I just told you.
They've changed their formation. That will not be easy for Chelsea next week. Do not expect Chelsea to batter them 4 or 5-0, is my opinion. I expect the Chelsea win.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's at home, isn't it? It's at Stamford Bridge. They'll win, Chelsea. They'll win. But it's not going to be a rout. It's not going to be a rout, that.
Norwich will not keep a clean sheet.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about...
blanks, Lee.
Well, quickly about the Chelsea defence then. So, of course, you know...
Rudiger.
Well, you've got the Rudiger back issue, which I don't think we know too much more about.
Said it was minor.
Yeah, I know. What does that mean? Back issue. Backs are funny, right? Backs can be weeks, can be days, can be nothing, can be a long term. I think we need to wait to see.
I wish I went Azpilicueta
last week. What Rudiger's back is looking like. And then you've got the Chilwell and Alonso thing kicking off now. For me, I'm happy out of that. Are you? I just think if you're an Alonso owner, you're frustrated.
Oh,
and if you're a Chilwell owner, you're constantly looking over your shoulder.
I mean, I've got Rudiger because I kept him last week thinking, well, if it's minor, let's see. I wanted news. And of course, we've got Champions League action, so we will get more news, which was what it was in my head. We will get another press conference ahead of the Champions League. We'll get an update on Rudiger. Should give us a bit more of an indication before Norwich. Because whilst Norwich apparently can keep loads of clean sheets now and are suddenly rock solid, they are also not scoring any goals. So Chelsea will likely keep a clean sheet.
I think you're right. And I think on the other side as well, if you're a Reece James owner, again, frustrating, right? Comes
one
on
point
for that
cameo.
One-point cameo. And I think again, if you're going to buy into Reece James, you've got to accept that sometimes that's going to happen. He can pull out the double-digit hauls, and I actually think his supply line is crucial for Lukaku, actually. I think they missed something by not having his supply line into the front two at the weekend. But with him, you know you can get a one-point cameo. It can happen. It can happen. Let's talk about Brentford then, because here's a team that, I honestly, I tweeted, I could not understand how they didn't get something from this game.
It was
Mendy. And then somebody replied, well, it's elite goalkeeping. Like, I mean, the Mendy was absolutely unreal in this
Everything
game.
Kepa has not been
so
for
good.
Chelsea.
Like, you can't
no, he was.
Compare the two.
Kepa
hasn't
can.
Played for so long.
But all that
such
time.
Such a dig at Kepa. Why would you have a dig at Kepa? He hasn't played for ages.
Because for all that time when Chelsea were like conceding, you know, all that period of time, a few years, last season, beginning of last season, I think it was. I don't know. Time's flown by. But whenever it was that Kepa was their number one, he was everything they needed in that moment. In that one game, in a nutshell, he encompassed everything that you need from a Premier League goalkeeper. He was everywhere possible. And Brentford, goodness me, they were so unlucky not to get something from that game.
Yeah.
Any other goalie in goal in that game, and Brentford at least draw it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Brian Mbeumo then, because he's going to be a target for people this next game week coming up. And I actually don't think it's as easy a game coming up next. Let's have a look at their fixtures, because it's Leicester next, isn't it? I want to talk about Brian Mbeumo against Leicester. I know they're at home, and Brentford have looked good at the Brentford Community Stadium, but Leicester looked pretty good against Manchester United, although they did concede a couple of goals and haven't looked that great early on this season. But there was plenty of energy. There was more of a press. There was more hard work from Leicester, and they're going to need to keep that up against Brentford, who do exactly that.
Yeah.
My thing about Mbeumo is, and I'm sure you guys have seen this stat on Twitter, it's incredible. He's hit the woodwork 6 times this season. Twice in the game against Chelsea. No other player has done it more than once, and he's done it 6 times. I mean, even if you're talking about 2 or 3 of those out of the 6 going in, you would still say he's been unlucky, because he'd be on 3 woodworks hit, and he'd be on, you know, points near, you know, Salah levels. It's ridiculous value, right?
100%. And, you know, we had that conversation yesterday, didn't we? And we were talking about it. And actually, the thing for me is that, you know, he's been doing this against some of the best defences in the Premier League. So he's hit woodworks against Chelsea, against Liverpool, against some of the real top quality defences.
Is it unlucky, or does his finishing need to improve?
Well, his finishing won't need to improve that much against some of the clubs he's got coming up against next. If he gets it on target, he's not coming up against Mendy and Alisson every week. I think that's my point, is that I genuinely think that Mbeumo, it will be a great buy over the next.
I just think with his fixtures, he's got reasonable form.
And the price.
The price, he's out of position. He's still pretty low ownership, right?
Yeah.
It is a what's not to like, no doubt about it. How would you get him in your team? It's Jota, isn't it? Jota down to Mbeumo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I must admit, I'm looking at my team for next week and I struggle with who I will take out, actually. Because we'll talk about our teams in a second, but I struggle to find some space in my midfield for Mbeumo. So to that end, I do have a slot up front. Not the Antonio slot. We'll talk about him in a sec. But I've obviously got a third non-playing striker who I wouldn't mind upgrading to Ivan Toney.
Oh, yeah. You got
so,
the money?
I've got some of the money. I'll probably need to take a hit for it. That's why I'm considering going Brentford less against this Leicester side next week. Okay. But Ivan Toney also is going to be a good pick, right? Also going to be a good pick. And I think that this whole kind of dropping deep and being a bit more creative with Mbeumo going on, I think we might see that change a little bit. I think we might see Toney taking up more positions in the box. I think we might see him being a bit more of a target man.
Why?
Against these lesser sides. Because I don't think that he's going to need to drop and get involved and create that extra man in midfield and be involved in those areas like he needs to against the bigger sides, let's say, against the Chelseas and the Liverpools. I think with the fixtures they've got coming up, he might want to be a bit more of a target man. Now, interestingly, Leicester, what we've just said about Leicester and their ability to play in between those sorts of lines and the way they exposed those spaces against Manchester United. Mm. Well, wouldn't it be good if you had an Ivan Toney dropping in to those spaces and breaking up the game there and taking ownership of those areas against the Leicester side that are good at doing that, right? Mm. So having gone into this, having looked at this run for Brentford and gone, okay, well, it's from game week 9. I definitely want to go for Toney or Mbeumo. I think if you were to twist my arm and say you've got to pick just one, Lee, I think I would go Mbeumo. I think that's where I'd go, because I can see Tony still doing a little bit of this dropping off against Leicester. Now, he might not do it in games going forward, and they might decide to change it a little bit. And by the way, just because he's doing that and playing his game that way doesn't mean he's a bad FPL asset, Tony. He's still the talisman. He's still going to take penalties, of which they're probably going to get a couple at some stage, right? He will get FPL points.
Yeah.
But I just look at Mbeumo and I just think, geez, what more do you want?
Nothing.
This guy's at 5.5, low ownership, good fixtures, decent form. The team are in form. He's just been unlucky because he's hitting the post. The people I feel sorry for are the people that have already got Mbeumo and that have had him for 4 or 5 weeks. Because had, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 of those goals gone in and not hit the post, your rank would be absolutely flying. But as it is now,
everyone's, I feel like, you know, not everyone, but the
FPL masses are going to get into Mbeumo now because of these fixtures.
Why not just make him differentials then and own both? Because the fixtures are nice enough, in my opinion,
There's a case. And I genuinely
think, having watched Antonio today, and I said this to you before the last game week started, and you can vouch for me, I'm really not interested in having Antonio in my team. I wasn't interested in having him this week. All he does is get booked most of the time. Now, he probably will score against Spurs, but he's not doing enough. And we said in that early part of the season that, you know, he was on fantastic form. Maybe the game time is starting to catch up with him now. Maybe the fact that he was injured for such a long time, he's come back. He started the season with an absolute bang. Since then, nothing's kind of gone right. And with the Europa League restarting, of course, again, game week's coming up, I'm not that interested in owning him. And
well,
let's talk about Tony.
Since you've gone there naturally, let's talk about Everton versus West Ham then. So let's talk about Antonio and whether you're going to keep him or not. I feel like you want to sell him.
Oh, I am well up for Antonio. So, because the other thing by doing the Jota to Mbeumo is that I could easily go Antonio to Vardy and have Vardy up top with Lukaku.
Okay.
So that is playing out in the back of my mind, that could be a really nice move.
What I will say about Antonio is, and I don't know how much of this game you caught, but he was still, like, you know, he still could have had some FPL points. And I noticed he was second in the XG underachievers actually this week, only to Elianusi from Southampton. So Antonio, an XG delta of 0.87. So what does that tell me? That tells me probably should have had some FPL points based on
how
the chances
he
was getting.
How many weeks did you say this for, though?
I know, but listen, it's not as if he's become a bad asset overnight. The fixtures for him coming up, the next two in particular, I remember seeing those. Where's West Ham?
Spurs.
Spurs and Villa, both defences that have been reasonably leaky. You wouldn't say either of those defences have been absolutely amazing this season.
I've really not been impressed with Antonio. Every time I've watched him the last couple of weeks, I just watch him and think, I'm so uninspired by owning you right now. He will 100% bite me for saying this against Spurs. I absolutely know that. But I'm really not feeling the love. I feel the same about Benrahma at the moment. I feel like West Ham, I don't think they've become a bad side. So don't think that that's what I'm saying, because I'm absolutely not. I'm just talking from an FPL perspective. I'm looking across at Tony very longingly. I'm looking across at Vardy very longingly. And I'm looking at my front three thinking, well, I can't sell Lukaku out of Norwich. And Antonio, you've let me down for a few weeks now, and you've been sent off, and I've held you, and you're still not returned, and I'm annoyed.
Okay, I can tell from your body language you're annoyed with Antonio. For those on the podcast, Sam's got her arms crossed. Every time we talk about a player you want to get rid of,
I don't like
Jota
him.
And Antonio, the arms go like this.
I didn't want him last week. I didn't want him last week. I would have sold him last week if it wasn't going to cost me -4.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's uncross those arms, Sam, and let's talk about Newcastle 2, Spurs 3, which I'm sure is a game you'd prefer to talk about. Loads of incident. We've already spoken about, you know, the guy in the crowd. Hopefully he's okay. I think the reports are that he's going to be okay. He's stabilised in hospital, which is great news. But back on the pitch, it was all kicking off, wasn't it? Talk about fireworks. What a game. Newcastle came out like an absolute house on fire. The atmosphere in the ground was incredible.
I blame Ant and Dec.
Mankeo flying down that wing and putting a ball into Wilson after a couple of minutes. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, here we go. This is the game.
Did you really think that, though?
Yes, I did. Because the atmosphere was the best I've heard it at St James's Park for years, for ages.
We went to watch our little boy play football this morning. We were walking back after the match. By the way, well done the Mighty Reds on a smashing victory this morning. But we were walking back to the car and I was chatting with one of the other dads who's also a Spurs fan about the game. And I said to Steve, I said, yeah, they'll be lively until we score. And then it all... And that's exactly kind of what happened.
Yeah.
They came out, they were all full of the, we've got all the money in the world. And look, it's made us amazing. By the way, Newcastle fans, this isn't a dig because you will be amazing with all the money that you've got. But at the moment, you've got the same players and the same manager that lost last week. So you as fan base were phenomenal in those opening 20 minutes. Then the Newcastle players seem to have they put in a few dodgy tackles. They seem to get a bit tired because they ran around like nutters for 20 minutes.
That's the thing, is it? There's only so far the adrenaline and the occasion will take you.
Yeah.
And Spurs almost gave them a 1-0. That whole feeling, the whole anti-Ashley thing, the whole what's happened in the last couple of weeks, almost gave them a 1-0 head start. But actually, once that settled down and actually there was a football match being played, Spurs quality shone through. And I certainly got the feeling today that Nuno, and tell me what you think, he's starting to get it right. He's starting to figure out who his best team is, particularly that three in the middle. I think Skip holding and not having Ndombele shackled. Because Ndombele, when you ask Ndombele to do something and be disciplined, he's a bloody nightmare.
But
if you have Skip there and you have Højbjerg, who, by the way, was top for tackles this week by an absolute stretch, right? The next best was Digne at Everton with something like, I think, 6. Whereas the stats are here telling me Højbjerg got 12, so double the amount, right? So Højbjerg was all about breaking up the play today, and Skip was there sweeping up and helping as well. And that enabled Ndombele to go forward with a bit more freedom and support that front three and stop them looking quite so isolated. And it worked. Now, don't get me wrong, Ndombele's the sort of player, in my opinion, that can easily have a crap 3 weeks now before he has another good one. He's that sort of player.
Yes.
But certainly today, he seemed to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, I said pre-season that I thought playing Skip and Højbjerg in that holding role was going to be the main thing for Spurs this season. If they could get those two playing well together, that would massively help. And yes, it's Ndombele today, but there's plenty of other players who can play in that role. There's obviously Brian Hill. There's Lo Celso. There's other players that he can put in that role, depending upon the physicality of the game and the physicality of the opposition. We knew Newcastle were going to come and be absolutely boisterous. Obviously, Lo Celso was not made it back in time from South America. And Brian Hill was on the bench because he's a bit lightweight.
What's going on with this COVID thing, by the way?
What?
The Sun and the Hill COVID thing.
False positives. Returned false positives on Friday.
I tell you what, that wreaked havoc with some FPL teams this week.
It did, absolutely.
If you're on a wild card and you got Son in...
You thought about it, didn't you?
I did think I was considering Son in for this week, absolutely. And the COVID put me off. Of course it put me off, right? And there would have been people with wild cards this week that were, you know, locking Son in earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Saw the COVID news and were like, well, I'm not having that then, am I? I'll do something else with my money. So I want to hear from you guys. If you're a wild carder and you didn't get Son because of the COVID news, how do you feel? It's no one's fault. It's just unlucky. It is what it is. No one could have predicted he's going to get a false positive.
It's a false positive. And then they're obviously retested on Saturday, got a negative. And then the rule is if you get a negative afterwards, then you have to test negative again. And as long as you test negative again the next day, you can play.
Yeah.
So they did a test this morning, so he was actually only declared, and we haven't had official announcements that it was Sun Hill, but we know it was. They only tested negative again this morning.
Yeah.
I thought Spurs were woeful for 20 minutes, but that's because...
I don't think you were.
Yeah.
I just think Newcastle were just on one.
I just think we knew that they were going to come out and beat, and we just were like, oh God, here they go. And it was a bit rowdy in there, and then everything calmed back down, and then Højbjerg and Skip controlled the midfield. I thought the defence actually looked okay for quite a long time after that. Son and Kane, finally, and I've said this week, I thought they would both score. Lovely.
Yeah.
Always like it when it happens, when you say like it's going to, and they don't make you look like idiots. Lukaku, thanks. But yeah, Son and Kane, I feel like we're starting slowly, we're starting to get the two of them back again. And now he's broken the duck.
Son's been playing pretty well this season, right? Averaging 7 points a game, whatever it was before today.
And now he's broke the duck, so I think it will be better. I mean, he'd already obviously scored in for England. He'd scored in the conference. Now he's broken the duck in the Premier League as well. Hopefully now we go on and he'll continue to be good, because, you know, you look at Spurs' fixture, and I don't think you're doing it now, but you look at the Spurs fixtures from that Leeds game, which, by the way, we're going to, and you know I want the captain's armband on him. I think it's game week 13.
Yeah, West Ham away, Man United at home, Everton away in the next three. So tricky looking games for Spurs, but then Leeds at home in 12, followed by Burnley away in 13. That's
so 12
when
is,
you want to get them.
So 12 is my target for Spurs. And so basically what I'm going to be doing is watching how we get on, particularly in the next two. Because I wouldn't mind going slightly earlier and going in game week 11.
Well, what I will say about those three is that, you know, West Ham, you've already been slagging them off and saying they've got Europa fatigue. You've got Man United, who are a box of frogs at the minute.
Beat them last time.
And then you've got Everton away, which, all right, that looks potentially difficult, but they've just lost at home to West Ham. And
they concede.
They can concede goals, and then it's Leeds and Burnley. So a lot of the FPL community will be going, all right, well, I'm going to earmark 12 for Kane in or Son in, particularly as the Chelsea fixtures turn then, so it's easier to do from Lukaku to Kane.
I'll tell you something,
but
though.
Actually, going early could be something to do.
Lukaku blanks against Norwich and Kane scores against West Ham.
You won't need a second.
I won't take
a second
glance.
Reason to get
there
Kane
won't be
in.
A second look. if Kane scores again next week, there won't be a part of me that looks back. I will just go, thanks for nothing, Lukaku, off you go.
Romelu, you have
I've owned
told.
Him. He's done absolutely
told.
Nothing. Not one thing.
Romelu, you have been warned. Not much else to... Well, there is plenty to talk about from the Wolves game in particular, including the Jimenez benching, which was, quite frankly, a bit of an odd one. Huang looked out of his depth up there on his own, and it wasn't until Podence come on that he really changed the game. I, for one, am getting the up with Semedo. I don't think he's worth the 4.9 in my team, so I'm looking at an exit route for that. One player that I do want to call out was Broja, if that's how you say his name, or Broja, if you're a bit more English like me. Southampton 1, Leeds 0.
Can't
without...
be Broja.
Well, it could be Broja, I don't know. You guys in chat will tell me, I'm sure, as you're used to doing whenever I butcher someone's name. But with no Rafinha and no Bamford, I was pretty confident in Martino Livramento clean sheet, I have to say.
Yeah.
But Broja up front was... I thought he was really good, honestly. I'm not saying go out and get this guy, right? But he's 5.0 in FPL. He looked way better than Huang did at the weekend.
What the hell happened to Armstrong, though? Like, well, this game week has honestly been one of them, hasn't it? Like, you mentioned Jimenez a minute ago being benched. We've obviously talked about the City benchings. Then we obviously had the news that Rudiger was out. We've had Rafinha missing because of the internet. There's so many. And then the one player that you think actually is almost guaranteed to start was, Jimenez at Wolves and Armstrong at Southampton. Both of them get benched.
Yeah, but Broja played well. 81 minutes, right? I've got the stats here. 3 shots on target, 2 off target. So 5 over the course of the game. A nice looking heat map. I haven't got it for on the slides actually, but you can see it there, right? I mean, there's plenty of activity in the box. Played like a proper number 9, right? In the way that Armstrong perhaps doesn't quite. I don't know. He was just in. Whenever I watched Match Today and I saw Southampton attacking, he was there in that area. Do you know what I mean? Where you're thinking that's an area where you could get some FPL points. So whether he's any good or not, I don't know yet. But he's where he should be to get FPL points. And the reason I'm interested is because I look at these Southampton fixtures and they are still quite high up there. So Burnley up next, then Watford. So two, you know, I mean, historically Burnley defence is great, but I'm not sure about them at the minute so far this season. Then you've got, you know, the box of frogs at Watford. So goodness knows what's happening. Aston Villa, who, okay, good side, but Southampton are at home. So, you know, they could do one on Villa there. The Ings homecoming will be all the rhetoric. That's that game week. Then it's Norwich, right? Before then it gets a bit more difficult away at Liverpool in 13. So the next 4 for Southampton look pretty good. Now, this guy isn't getting regular game time, right? It's the first time he's actually, I think it might be his first start this. I looked at some of his previous games. It's minutes here, minutes there. But this is the first time he started and got 81 minutes. Some of you guys, thank you, chat. It's pronounced Broja. Okay, Broja.
Yeah, I didn't think it could be Broja.
I've got a J in it.
Broja? No, he's not called Roger, is he?
And you guys are saying, yes, he's Albanian. He's been playing very well for Albania. Cyberdet is saying, thank you, Finn. He's saying, Lee, you can say it how you want. Thanks, Finn. Broja. Broja is the guy here. Listen, something I noticed, maybe one for your jammy pick video during the week, 5 million. I'm looking at how do I get out of my Richardson 4.5 non-playing forward up front, who frankly is just a waste of time. Those next 4, I could see me just playing him and, I don't know, say he gets 2 goals across that next 4 with his ownership being at basically nothing. Could be a good differential.
Or could not play.
Or could not play because they got Armstrong, of course. But listen, I thought he was very good in that game.
Just go Vardy instead.
All right, well, I'll try and find twice the amount of money for Broja. for Vardy. Right, we've talked enough, Sam. Enough with the talking. We have to get to our teams. Here is your team for the weekend. Here's the graphic courtesy of Fantasy Football Scout. Not a bad looking week. 59 points all out, I think. You're done?
I am done. Okay. And actually, at one point this weekend, I genuinely thought I wasn't going to get 11 out. So I'm quite pleased to have a bit of a green arrow.
So total points, 490. Overall rank up 14% to 722. So that's all right.
I do know that tomorrow we'll take a hit because Arsenal and Crystal Palace are fairly well owned. Particularly, I could do with the Arsenal defence not keeping a clean sheet. I could do with it not being Gallagher that takes away that clean sheet.
Sure.
There's a lot of, I could do with this not happening tomorrow.
Well, we could have done with Lukaku scoring this week, couldn't we?
But yeah, so there's a lot of things that I hope will happen tomorrow. Like, I mean, if it wants to be just some randomer from Crystal Palace that pops up and takes away the clean sheet, great, thank you very much. But actually, I'm relatively pleased with this week, given I was seriously worried. I bought a ticket to the Pep Roulette and I just about got away with it.
I think you more than got away with that, yeah.
Well, I sold Greenwood for it, which isn't ideal. But there were a lot of players in there who were just starting to get on my goat a bit. Jota to Mbeumo is one that I will do. I'm almost certain, but I am likely to take a -4 this week.
Okay, -4 incoming for you, Sam, potentially. The guys are saying, I've missed another super chat, goodness me. Oh, and it's from our man Duncan. Hey, Duncan, how are you doing?
Yeah, Duncan.
Oh, yes, Cody, you legend. You're on the wrong Wolves defender, guys. Yeah, you're probably right about that, right? Semedo.
We could have been on any other Wolves defender this week, because didn't Saez get a goal as well?
Saez also got the goal, but Cody's celebrations at full-time were absolutely fantastic. This guy,
that's
honestly...
he's Wolves through and through, isn't he?
What a guy. I just love him. He's got such a great character, such a good personality.
The Midlands derby as well. Yeah, they were loving their lives.
Really, really good. So, yeah, loved watching that Cody reaction at the end there. So you've talked through what... your early thoughts in terms of what you might do for next week, but you're certainly thinking Jota down to Mbeumo and then using the money to do what for a -4?
Well, it depends really. So I'll be waiting obviously till later on in the week because I need to see what's happening with Rudiger, because if Rudiger's not going to play again, I don't want to just keep an injured player. So I'll sell him on and I'll probably go to a Manchester City defender instead.
Okay.
And that'll be my -4. But if
two tickets to the Pep.
Two tickets. But if Rudiger is...
You're sweating every time that City clean sheet comes out. That City lineup comes out, you'll be like, oh, Foden, oh, Cancelo.
I'll just be praying. It's
not good for your anxiety, Sam. Don't do it. Double Man City.
I actually, to be honest, I quite enjoyed it this weekend. What? The randomness of it.
What?
Like the guys in the, Danny in a Slack
you
said to me. Danny in the Slack said, Sam, you've bought a ticket to the roulette. And I was like, what will be, will be. Let's just roll the dice and see what happens.
It's supposed to be fun. Come on, it's not
it
fun.
It was fun.
I just gives me a headache.
I rolled the dice. Oh. It was fun. I always think with Foden, he'll come on. So he's going to get one. And look, anyway, so if Rudiger's fit, great, then I might just go rogue, you know.
But, rogue?
Yeah.
Go on.
There might be some rogue stuff happening.
Let's hear it.
Antonio.
Broya.
Not that rogue. Antonio, I really do want to get rid of. So he could be Vardy. Semedo, I could upgrade him. There's so many options. There's so many people that I'm a bit like, nah. Brandon Williams doesn't even play anymore, so he needs sorting out. but he's less of a problem if the other two are fit and available.
That's a weird one, isn't it, Brandon Williams? You'd think that he would be there.
Got dropped.
On
two
the basis
clean sheets.
That he's going to play some games.
Got dropped, two clean sheets.
Well, this is it.
He's not coming back.
They've changed their philosophy, haven't
he's
they?
Gone, he's dead now. He's dead to me as an FPL asset. So he needs to go. But equally, I'm not worrying. I'm not playing my bench boost anytime soon. So as long as he's the third sub and I've got other people that can kind of be there, that's fine. So I'm just going to be keeping an eye this week.
Okay.
News on Rudiger is going to be the key one, but definitely Mbeumo.
Okay. All right. Well, as Ben in the chat is saying, Sam, you need a 2-2 draw in the Arsenal game with some defensive own goals and a Gallagher own goal. That'd do you...
That would be delightful. Yeah. I mean, if Ramsdale wants to kick the ball in his own net, followed by Ben White.
OG.
And then Gallagher own goal at the other end. Absolutely wonderful. That'd be great.
Love it. Well, there we go. There's your team. Decent week. 59. Not bad. Very much above the average. 56 for me. So also not bad.
Oh, well, I'm above you for temporary.
Well, let's see. Because
you've got Saka.
I've got Saka still to go. Yeah, I've got Saka to go. So we'll see whether...
If he gets a three-pointer, then we'll be back level again.
We'll be back level again, yeah. So, and therein lies... you know, just how close it still is, even though we're on, what, game week 8 or 9 now. So you'd start to think that the ranks would start to keep, you know, sort of stretching out a little bit. But
no, it's not.
You're at 7.22. I'm at 7.97. So there's 70-80K there, which is 3 points,
it's
effectively.
Nothing.
So, you know, who knows? Saka, if Saka gets a goal and a couple of bonus points, I could be top half a million, you know. So it's still all to play for.
Because I'm 10 points outside the half million.
Yeah, so it's still,
so you're 13, right? Which is nothing.
Yeah. So I feel like my team has been very much treading water over the last few weeks. I feel like I've been victim of quite a lot of players missing out. I mean, the Rudiger injury, the Rafinha coming back, the, you know, whatever we had, a couple of players missing out last week. So, you know, I don't feel like I've had a game week for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks now that is really going to really bump me up. And I've tried to go a little bit different with Saka and a little bit different with Gray, but I just feel like I need something very different.
One.
I just need a bit more differential, a bit too template looking.
Are you happy with Gray? He's another one I'm not happy with.
Well, the thing is, haven't they got a nice fixture coming up next? Haven't they got Watford next, Everton? So I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, well, he could be the make weight for me for Mbeumo. That would be a straight swap. But listen, Watford next, isn't it? Given what Salah and Mane have just done to that back four. I mean, if Messina's playing, you can book the Gray hat-trick in right now. I mean, I don't want to sell him ahead of Watford, really, to be
honest.
Is
that what they've got next, Watford?
I think it is Watford. Yeah, you guys in the chat can tell us if that's different. But, you know, again, I look at my midfield and I bought Saka in for this run that they've got. A nice fixture. You've got nice 2 or 3 fixtures coming up. Gray as well, nice fixtures-ish, including that Watford fixture. Then Rafinha, who's going nowhere because I just love the guy. I think he's amazing. Salah obviously is not going anywhere. So then it comes back to Jota. So I'm back round to how much weight do I put into this, you know, Jota rotation risk thing that you're going on about here? And do I want to lose him for Mbeumo? Because I do want to get Mbeumo. I do think that he's absolutely one to have. But I'm not sure who I take out. That's the challenge.
Do you want 3 Liverpool for Manchester United?
Yeah, 100%.
Do you?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that's a game where we could do really well. Really well. I think Man United could do really well as well. But there are some players. I look at my midfield and I think, yes, I'd like to have Mbeumo, but that's not the weakest part of my team. The weakest part of my team is Shaw and Semedo, isn't it?
And those are the two.
Yeah, the guy up front, right? Richardson's a problem, right? But again, Lukaku, Antonio, you know, I'm willing to give them some more time. The midfield,
Shaw,
I've already mentioned, I'm kind of okay with it. But Luke Shaw has to go, I guess. And Semedo, probably. Well, I'm not in on the Chelsea defence, am I? And given that Chelsea are playing Norwich next and I've got some reasonable fixtures, do I go back to Rudiger? Or more likely, do I go somewhere else? Because I never really wanted in on Rudiger. Rudiger was a cop-out, really, a couple of weeks ago when I wanted to go safe. And I bought Rudiger because I thought he was safe and now he's got a back injury. So actually what it's proved is that Azpilicueta is possibly a bit safer and arguably a better pick. Or I might go for somewhere else. But again, the Chelsea back line is getting more difficult to predict week on week, isn't it? Maybe Azpilicueta is the most safe, given his leadership quality, I guess. Given he's the captain some weeks, I don't know. But
he's the captain, yeah.
Difficult to say who to go to. Or do I just upgrade Shaw and go for another Man City defender? Because they are that good defensively. Do I just go a Diaz now he's had his break? Or do I go a Laporte? Or do I just go somewhere else? Because they are that good defensively. I don't know. So, lots to consider. The transfer that I would like to have Mbeumo in, but as I mentioned before on the stream, I think that Leicester game is more difficult now. I think Leicester have found a bit of form. They've found a bit of energy, and they've found a bit more about them in that Manchester United team.
It's all a bit much.
So, I'm looking at the team.
There's a lot to go on, though, isn't there? Champions League, Europa League.
There is a lot that's got to happen.
Antonio gets injured in the Europa League.
Yes.
Jota picks up something in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Like, there's so in Man City, one of them gets something, Chelsea, one of them. So much can happen this week, and that's why, even though I'm very set on Mbeumo, I will do absolutely nothing until we get part by the end of Thursday night, because of course, it's not just the Europa League and the Champions League. We must not forget the all important conference is also happening on Thursday evening.
The old Jaffa Cakes Cup is back on Thursday.
Who is back on Thursday night?
Yes,
come on, you Spurs.
Who are you playing?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Is it like, who is it?
I'll tell you.
Vitesse, isn't it? Or
didn't we play them before?
You don't even know who you're playing.
Conference.
Jeez. Europa Conference League. What a joke. Anyway, there's my team. I'm reasonably happy with it this week. It's 56. I've got Bukayo Saka to play. He could make all the difference for me. We go again next week. But I do feel like I want to be a little bit more different.
Vitesse.
See, even I know who you're playing in the Jaffa Cakes. You don't even know.
It's an early kickoff if anyone cares.
I'm afraid, Sam, no one cares because it's the Europa Conference League.
Top the group.
No one cares.
I care.
Right. There we go. So there is some European football that does matter on this week. The Champions League and the Europa League is on. So guys, my advice, as usual, our advice here on FPL Family is hold those transfers. Despite you want to get Mbeumo in, I know you want to get Ivan Toney in, I know you want to do these things, guys, and I know you want to do it early, but hold those transfers. Wait for news. There we go, Sam. So actually, green arrows all round in the FPL Family household. A win for Liverpool, a win for Spurs. So, smiles all round, actually. Not too bad a week. Not too bad a week. And, of course, Bukayo Saka could make it a really good week for me. But we shall see how Arsenal get on against Palace tomorrow night. Not an easy game for Arteta's boys. Not an easy game. Tell us about the week coming up, Sam. What are we doing in terms of podcasts and videos and shows and all that sort of stuff?
God, I don't know. I think you're doing... I always forget you're going to ask me this question.
I do ask you it every week.
I forget every week. And then I don't... No. Are you doing the pod this week?
I don't. Tell me. You run my schedule, basically, when it comes
made
to FPL.
That up.
So let me know.
Hang on.
Quite possibly.
Hang on.
The chat is absolutely telling me to get rid of Shaw. By the way, just while you're sorting that out, get rid of Shaw. Lee Thomas Burkham is saying Shaw needs to go. B is saying, guys, I know. Trust me. He does need to go. It's just who he goes for. Double Man City defense. Get back in on Chelsea. Don't know yet.
No pods. No show this week.
Oh.
We're having a week off.
Blimey, a week off to think about what we're going to do with these teams.
We will be back. You will be back on the pod on the 28th.
Right, back on the 28th. There we go, guys.
It's Mark on the pod this week.
Mr. Southern's on the pod. Well, there you go. There's a very good reason to go and tune in to the official FPL podcast this week with Mark Southerns and Kelly Sommers. And that is it. So if we've got nothing else left to say, Sam, other than looking forward to playing in the Jaffa Cake Cup on Thursday. Come on, you Spurs. They're back at it. Kane is back, Sam. He's back.
I'm telling you now, if we don't win that trophy, I'll be devastated.
What do you get for winning it other than a piece of silverware? Is there like qualification to the Champions League, or do you just get to go back into the Vanarama next year to defend your trophy? Is that what you get?
Is it qualification for the Europa
League? You don't know again, do you? Do you know anything about this competition?
It's a nice trophy.
You don't know anything about... You don't know who you're playing. You don't know when you're playing. You don't know what you
get
for winning
it. Do you know when we're playing? We're always playing on a Thursday. Victory in the... let's have a look. This is... Right.
Right, I'll tell you what. You figure that out and I'll sign off. Guys, thank you for joining us here on the FPL Family live
prize,
stream.
It's prize money.
What? £2.50? And what? A packet of Jaffa Cakes?
No, it won't be. Let's see. The champions will receive €5 million.
Ooh, okay.
The losing finalists will get €3 million.
Okay.
But what else? Also,
€5 million. That's about what 0.02% of the people that have just taken over Newcastle.
So you're not in it to win that, though, are you?
No, like, no.
You're
not
in
not,
it
no.
to win the money. You're in it for the prestige of winning.
Prestige. No one what? Cares about this cup, Sam.
What happens? Do you get what? Oh. Anyone know? What do you qualify for? Surely you qualify for the Europa League. That's
you get
the one above.
Nothing.
Why
Sam.
Is somebody laughing so you much in the chat?
Nothing. You get to go back to Europa, some people are saying.
I think it must be back to Europa. Why would it be not?
Absolute rubbish. Guys, thank you for joining us here on the FPL Family Show for another Sunday. We'll be back as usual, 8:30 next Sunday. I'm off to go and look at what you win for winning the Europa Conference League. Until next Sunday, we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Come on, you Spurs.